Session number 9253, Reel 1.
Mr. Jack Dargan, Reel 1. Could you tell me something about your life before the First World War, Mr. Dargan?
Before the First World War? Well, I was born on the 12th of July, 1893. I was born in a village in Northumberland called Guidepost. Now, Guidepost is a scattered village in the next village, the larger village, is Choppington, and it's called, all the little villages around that area is called Choppington. So that I started school.
What did your parents do?
My parents, the whole area was, all the men folk were working in the mines, in the coal mines. Daughters always went into service when they left school in Newcastle. That's a town about 20 miles from where we were living. But the boys all, of course, just went into the coal mines, into the pit. Now, in 1900, I was 7 years old, so I was going to school. Now, my parents were very, very poor. I knew poverty right to its limit. In fact, I've often said in my lifetime, when anybody says to me, you're 90 or 91, 92 now, how do you account for that? Well, I says, I always give a reply to saying, well, I was bought on rice puddings and broth. That's what I was brought up on, and that was the two cheapest meals anyone in all positions could ever get. Meat. I can't remember ever having any meat, or if I did, we put me very often in my school days. Now, in Choppington, there was two schools. One, the church school. One was maintained by the Church of England with a grant from the county council, I expect. And the other was the colliery school, Choppington Colliery. They maintained that school. Now, I couldn't go to the church school because I didn't have the clothes. My mother couldn't fit me out with decent clothes to let me go to the church school. So it was the colliery school that I went to. Now, I remember the school very, very well. In fact, the headmaster is the chappy I owe a great deal to, because as I got older, and when I was 13, that was the time for leaving school, my mother went and saw the headmaster and said, Jack, my son, I think it's worth something better than going down the coal mine. And could he stay on at school? Well, Mr. Frank Gorcock, the headmaster, says, yes, of course. Well, now, in those days, the different classes were called standards, not forms as they are today. Standard 1, 2, 3, 4, up to standard 7. Well, when you were in standard 7, you arrived at the age of 13, and of course you left school. But I, me, and one girl who was staying over after 13, we counted ourselves in X7. Well, there was no teacher over X7. So we sat, and there was no classroom, so we sat at the back of Standard 7 at a desk for two, an old wooden framed, iron framed desk with lids that lifted up. She had a separate desk to me, but they were both joined together. I was very comfortable sitting on that seat, I always remember, but she didn't like it. She was a shy person, this girl of 13. I can't remember much about her, except her name, Mary Carr. And later, Mary Carr, I had to mention in one of my stories, many years afterwards. She would be growing up then. But to come back to the school, we, Mary Clark and I, in X7, no teacher. So the headmaster would come along and give us a book which he called a classic. I can't remember all the different books, but there were what he called the classics. We were told to read the book and then write an essay on the book. So that always took more than a day or two, because the day was broken up also by requests for Mary Clark and I to go down into the infant school to help the teachers there to maintain discipline and to help in any way we could with the infant school. And then I remember also we used to break the day up because one of the teachers was keen on singing, and she used to run singing classes twice a week, so we attended those. Me, I was never a singer, though I do sing a little. In fact, I was out yesterday at a blind school giving a talk, and one of the ladies says, "Do you sing, Mr. Dorgan?" I says, "Yes." So I gave them a couple of dialect songs of Northumberland. That was only yesterday. But that's the only kind of singing I know about. Now, at this school, as I said, it was maintained by the Chopenden Colliery, and we children had to contribute. Every Monday morning, we had to pay fourpence. Four pennies, and that was an enormous sum in those days, fourpence. Well, my father, he worked in the coal mine, and instead of working on the coal side, he worked on the stone. He was what they call a stone man. When the coal is taken from the seam, roadways has to be built to keep going forward to develop the coal mine, which means that the stone men, they take down the roof in the roadway about 4 or 5 feet, so that makes a roadway about 10 to 12 feet high. Now, in those days, there was no electric coal cutters or anything like that, and he had to drill the hole into the stone, and of course drilling the hole in stone brings out the stone dust, and he breathes the stone dust, and he had chest trouble. He lost a lot of work. So taking fourpence to school on a Monday morning was always a difficulty. Very, very rare I had fourpence. So usually I just went out and put my hand out, and I've got four good straps on the hand. Girls got the same, who couldn't afford the fourpence. I should think about half the class every Monday morning used to just go out and, without a word, put your hand out and got the strap, because they hadn't got the fourpence to pay the teacher, the teacher. Well, now, as I said, I owe a lot to Frank Walcock, because writing these essays at the age of 13, he never accepted the first time we wrote an essay. He corrected, he was very painstaking. He corrected the spelling, corrected the phrasing, and so on. And we always had, Murray Clark and I always had to write it again. And sometimes I had to write a third. She never did, so it must have been a bit brighter than me. So that I started writing then. And you know, I've never stopped writing since that day. During the war, First World War, I kept a diary, which helped me enormously after I came back. But unfortunately, some years after the war, I lived in London during the bombing, and we lost a lot of things, pilfered by people, because our house in London, we lost the roof, lost the ceilings, lost the windows by bombing. The front door, when we went out, we couldn't lock the door, just went out and left the door, told the warden of the street that we were out and put a brick behind the front door, open to anyone who wanted to go in. We lost a lot. I lost a lot of papers and so on. What good it would be to them, I don't know, but I certainly lost them. However, in the school years, as I said, we continued writing after I was 13, writing essays, and I wrote on all kinds of subjects, I should think. Can't remember now about the books I read and wrote afterwards. The school itself was a very old school even then. Of course, it's gone now, down.
When did you leave school?
I left school as it happened, my birthday is in July. I was 13 in July in 1900. When I was 13, that would be 7 and 6 is 12, 13, 1906. And I left school then. I didn't leave school then. I stayed on, of course, after my birthday until November of that same year, because my father working at, he changed his colliery to Ashington Colliery from Choppington. And when he changed his colliery, his workplace, which was over the River Wansbeck, about 4 miles from Choppington to Ashington, the Ashington Coal Company was a very modern type of colliery, and even in those days. And they had some hundreds of houses owned by the colliery, built by the colliery, and maintained by the colliery, and certain workmen could have a colliery house free. Well, we got a colliery house at Ashington, so we had to move from Choppington, cross the river to Ashington. I well remember we moving in November, late November, and we had a horse driven lorry to carry all household goods. Mother and the younger children went on ahead because there had a river to cross, no bridge then. There is a bridge now, but in those days we had to go over by ferry, a ferry boat. Well, my father and I, with the driver, went with the lorry down the bank to the River Wansbeck, and then with the lorry we crossed the river. halfway across, very wide at that point, at Stake Ford in Northumberland. Very wide, and we stopped at midway in the river, I remember, to give the horse a rest. And then we finished the other job, and then up the hill to Ashendon. Now, I well remember the first house that we lived in Ashendon was called Clyde Street, number 45 Clyde Street. The Ashendon Coal Company, they had many, many hundreds, can't tell you how many, hundreds of stories, hundreds of houses and streets, and they had them in blocks, one, so on. One block was called after the rivers, as I said, 45 Clyde Street, the River Clyde. And then there was the ones on the operas, Portia Street, and all those kinds. We lived in Portia Street, that's really long but once. As I said, he was a stone man, and he was always in the night shift, which meant that he finished work at 2 o'clock in the morning. He should go down the pit at night, and then come out. 10 hours we worked those days in the pits. I believe they work 8 hours now, but it was 10 hours then. And he came along from work, 2 o'clock in the morning, in the dark, of course. And our house was two houses down from the avenue. Now, the colliery houses, mostly the same, except some streets which housed the bigger families would have 3 bedrooms. We had a house with 2 bedrooms upstairs, and then downstairs there was a kitchen, a big kitchen, and a bedroom, a front room. Well, it was a front room, but was used as a bedroom. And all the houses were the same. My father and mother slept in that front room, and we children slept upstairs in the bedrooms. So he came home that morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, and took his key out and went into the house, passed through the front room, which was a bedroom, and into the kitchen. And we had just recently, that year, had electric lights installed in the houses. I remember when they installed electric lights, they allowed us 5 lights in the house only. 5 lights for the different rooms. Well, he switched the light on, and he found he was in the wrong house. So what he did was quietly put the light out, quietly went out of the front room and let himself out of the house, and then pulled himself together to see where he was. He was 2 streets wrong, so he had to go 2 streets further on and enter his own house. Well, telling his wife, my mother, about this, she says, I must go and apologize. So she went around to the house and apologized for my dad going into their house at 2 o'clock in the morning. They had no knowledge at all of him ever being in. So her job going along and making apologies was wasted. But there it was. That's the type of houses we had in Ashendon.
So you left the school when you left Choppington to go to Ashendon, did you?
Yes. You see, I was 13 in a few months then, in November. And we came to this number 45 Clyde Street, and it was all a strange world to me. A strange world to me. Because when we lived in Choppington, Guidepost, there were 17 houses in the Freehold Terrace in Choppington. 17 houses. And everybody except one house, all worked in the coal mines, different coal mines, not just one, because there was quite a number of coal mines in the district, and they worked at different coal mines. The one that didn't, he was a cobbler. Do you know what a cobbler is? Cobbler is a shoe repairer, boot and shoe repairer. He worked at the local co-op. He had a permanent job. He had a 6-day week every week, where we miners, well, we depended on whether the pits worked or not. Well, there was always a great demand for coal from Northumberland. And the coal was shipped from Northumberland. They went by railway trucks from Ashendon to the seaport of Blyth. Blyth is a seaport, and in the winter, sometimes the ships couldn't get into the harbour to take the coal, which meant idle time for the pits in the stormy weather in the winter.
Did you go straight down the pit when you left school, or did you do something else beforehand?
Yes, I'll come to that in a moment. Let us finish the Blyth coal, because I want to bring in, when we lived in Freehold Terrace, Choppington, when a pit at Ashendon was to be idle the next day, the colliery buzzer blew. A buzzer is like a siren. Now, Ashendon had quite a number of pits, Ashendon Colliery, very large colliery, and for to signify which pit was to be idle, not working, the next day, they blew a buzzer at certain time. So, the 17 houses, no, 16 houses, because one was a cobbler, but all the other houses used to be on the street in the winter when the bad weather was with us to hear the buzzer blow. And it depended on the time it blew. The Carl pit would blow at 6 o'clock, the Duke pit at 4:15, the other pits every 15 minutes. And everybody knew the times. And everybody, fathers and mothers and children, would be on the street waiting to see if the pit was working the next day. Because it meant a lot. We never had much money at any time. But, of course, if you didn't get a full weekend, well, you didn't. As I said before, we were brought up on broth and rice puddings. Sundays, when I got older, we did have a little bit extra, but generally when we were all children, and our family was five, we lived, and we survived. Now then, you were asking,
what did you do when you left school?
Yes. Well, now, when I went to Ashendon, my mother still thought that me, being the eldest of three sons, was worth something better than going down the pit. So I went around seeking a job outside the pit, which was very difficult because everybody worked at the pits. All the boys leaving school naturally just went to the pits, nothing else. The girls went into service in Newcastle. But there was a wheelwright, and I called in at wheelwright, Mr. Tommy Tully was the wheelwright, because in those days, if we might mention, there was no motor cars in those days, they were all horses and carts, so there was wheels to be fixed on the carts. And Tommy Tully was a wheelwright. And he took me on as his apprentice. He liked the look of me. And I was very happy. I started work for Tommy Tully. But I only worked a few months when, in the workshop one day, when I was cleaning or polishing one of the machines, my finger got entangled with the cogs. That finger. And it mangled the first knuckle of that finger. So he took me up to Dr. Spence, our local doctor. And I remember Dr. Spence saying, "Jack, should I take the finger end off or what?" I said, "No, I'll turn it over." You see, look at that side, it looks all right. I wish I had, of course, taken it off, because it's been a bother all its life, because the nail is all mangled and goes to funny. Well, that finished me being a wheelwright, because it took some months before the finger was better, where it had been mangled and not cut off. And then, by that time, I was 14 years of age. As soon as I was 14 years of age, my father went with me to the pit where he worked at Ashendon, and I got started. I got employed to work down the pit when I was 14. My first job of going down the pit was to be a trapper boy. Now, in a coal mine, there's two shafts. One shaft with a pump that pulls the fresh air from the surface down into the workings, and then pushes the air around all the workings underground. And then there's another shaft called the upcast. It has a pump, and that pump pumps the air out of the pit into the open air. Pumps all the bad air which has been circulated down the pit, because in the circulation of air down the coal mine, apart from the human element, it's the fumes from shot firing in those days, as it will be today. All the coal has to be shot down by powder and then filled away into tubs and so on. And the same with the roadways. Different type of powder was used for shooting down the stone above a roadway to make a height. So there was a lot of bad air always travelling around. And ventilation down the pit is a very, very important part of a pit working.